Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And thank you, Father, for making this opportunity. We ask you to make the very best of it. Encourage our brethren in the good things that are coming. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to continue with one we've done earlier, Great Restoration and Revival. This will be part two. Thank you, Father, for your goodness today. Amen. So, I want to encourage you today with some older revelations that we have about the latter rain revival that we're looking forward to. This will solve many problems. Yes, it will. We're going to start with Judgment and Then Revival, Marie Kelton, 2016. I had this vision at the prayer meeting this morning while we were praying. One thing we prayed about was God bringing down the evil in our government. Amen. And when my eyes... When I closed my eyes, I saw a hurricane storm. I couldn't see anything but two trees and a lot of water and rain being blown against them by a strong wind. The sky was a light grayish color. Missy and I cast lots and asked if the storm was economic and received three heads. And then we asked if the two trees represented Obama and Hillary, among many, many others, of course, and got three heads. So below are the verses that I received. Well, let me say that since this vision was given, the storm against Obama and Hillary has picked up quite a bit. With the WikiLeaks emails and many scandals coming forth, and basically their attempts to destroy this government and this people. And the military is coming out against them. And what's going on? And the UN accusing them of war crimes by supporting ISIS and Al-Qaeda and the like, to overthrow governments and murder many, including Christians. So Zechariah 14 and 13 says this, "And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor." In other words, the Lord will go forth to fight as he fought in the day of battle by turning the enemy against each other in our government and in turning other governments against them. As they have factioned the world governments, they will be factioned. The Trump administration is arresting many deep staters. And many are turning states' evidence to get leniency, which means they're turning against one another, just like we saw. The threats against the true people of God will be taken down, as Pharaoh at the Red Sea was taken down, and Sennacherib at Jerusalem was taken down, right? And Haman and his against the people of God. Those armies that were against Jehoshaphat and Jerusalem, we see how many times God did this very same thing, taking them down, taking them down, taking them down, dividing them against one another and taking them down. So this will enable the people of God to go into the wilderness singing and rejoicing as they did on the far side of the Red Sea. This is not to say that because of the quakes and tsunamis and volcanoes, there won't be many in FEMA camps or under martial law, God will bring them guidance and deliverance even there. Amen. Deb just received this word after I wrote the above note, Jeremiah 44 and 30. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give Pharaoh Hophra, meaning a Pharaoh, quote unquote. Obama is often pictured as a Pharaoh and is, of course, a leader of an attempted coup, which is not going well. And so a Pharaoh, a king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies. Watch. Spiritual and physical. And into the hand of them that seek his life. Yes, it's happening. And as I gave Zedekiah, the apostate leadership of God's people, the king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Yes, he did. They totally perverted a lot of leadership of Christianity, using money, the CIA, etc., etc. Obama, in another parable, actually, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, you know, who was his enemy and sought his life. So, Acts 2 and 38, and Peter said unto them, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to you it is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto him. So after the judgment on the wicked deep state, who would have attacked God's people in the first verse, an outpouring will come on the righteous, as in this text, just as it was in Joel chapter 2. The storm will be a judgment on the wicked and a blessing to the righteous, as the hurricane below. Genesis 42 and 21. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the distress of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And it's the same with all of the persecutions of God's people by religious leaders and others. The factious in church and government are being judged because of what they did to Joseph, the man-child. They will reap the faction that they sowed, and the elect among them will repent in the revival, and the rest will be reprobated. Hebrews 10 and 11 says, and every priest indeed standeth day by day ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, the which can never take away sins. But he, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, henceforth expecting till his enemies be made the footstool of his feet. Well, the enemies will be judged, but God will forgive those who repent and believe in the sacrifice of Jesus. I asked this about the two trees and got Ezekiel 7 and 1, and here is the context. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, and thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord Jehovah, unto the land of Israel, an end, the end, is come upon the four corners of the land. A judgment, in other words, that will encompass America and the world. And this is probably the volcanoes, earthquakes, tsunamis, attacks of different sorts, so on and so forth. Verse 3, now is the end upon thee, and I will send mine anger upon thee, and I will judge thee according to thy ways, and I will bring upon thee all thine abominations, and mine eye shall not spare thee, neither will I have pity, but I will bring thy ways upon thee, and thine abominations shall be in the midst of thee, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Well, many will repent and believe in the revival that comes because of the fierce judgment. The days of plenty will give way to tribulation. And thus saith the Lord, Jehovah, an evil, an only evil, behold, it cometh. An end is come. The end is come. It awakeneth against thee. Behold, it cometh. Thy doom is come upon thee, O inhabitant of the land. And the time is come, the day is near, a day of tumult and not of joyful shouting upon the mountains. Now will I shortly pour out my wrath upon thee, and accomplish mine anger against thee, and will judge thee according to thy ways, and I will bring upon thee all thine abominations. And mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. I will bring upon thee according to thy ways, and thine abominations shall be in the midst of thee, and you shall know that I, the Lord, do smite. Behold the day, behold it cometh. Thy doom is gone forth. The rod hath blossomed. Pride hath budded. Well, Aaron's rod of the man-child to have authority over the proud wicked, but the fruit of revival will come of it. I mean, yes, judgment will come. The wicked will be taken down, but revival will come also. Violence, verse 11, is risen up into a rod of wickedness. None of them shall remain, nor of their multitude, nor of their wealth, neither shall there be eminency among them. Well, this evil leadership is being taken down right now, as a matter of fact. Gitmo is full, and they've expanded it even. The time is come, the day draweth near. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn, for wrath is upon all the multitude thereof. And I believe this is talking about economic collapse. For the seller shall not return to that which is sold, and although they be yet alive. So judgment shall overshadow business. For the vision is touching the whole multitude thereof. None shall return, neither shall any strengthen himself in the iniquity of his life. They have blown the trumpet and have made all ready, but none goeth to the battle. Well, we've already had an undeclared world war between the deep state and the alliance, which is winning, of course. And there is nothing jihadists, including those in the deep state, would love more than for East and West to destroy each other, leaving them the undisputed rulers, right? But if God's people will pray, God will cast it down until the red horse rider of war in Revelation 6 and 3. For my wrath is upon all the multitude thereof. And then comes the pale horse rider, the sword, death, and famine spoken of in Revelation 6 and 7. 15. The sword is without, and the pestilence and the famine within. He that is in the field shall die with the sword, and he that is in the city, famine and pestilence shall devour him. And let me say, in the midst of all the troubles that are coming upon the world, it will drive people to the Lord, and there will be revival. Verse 16, but those of them that escape shall escape, and shall be on the mountains like doves of the valleys, all of them moaning, every one in his iniquity. So many will come to repentance when they see the carnage. All hands shall be feeble, and all knees shall be weak as water. They shall also gird themselves with sackcloth, and horror shall cover them, and shame shall be upon all faces, and baldness upon all their heads. Many will come to repentance in these days, and much due to the man-child ministries. There's so much darkness in what's been taught in the churches, a lack of understanding of what's going on and why it's going on. And, of course, the reason for us having to know this is because it brings people to repentance. So we call this one, Watch for the Hurricane of Blessings and Abundance. Huh. This was Veronica West in 2016. A word to the righteous, watch for a hurricane of blessings and abundance. So on the far side of the Red Sea, of course, they saw that, didn't they? The enemies were destroyed and they received that. Early hours of this morning, I was praying concerning Hurricane Matthew. That was an old one, but it's a sign of things to come, which is now sweeping across the nations. And as I cried out to the Lord, immediately I heard the Spirit say, daughter, come up higher. And as I pressed into the Lord, suddenly my spirit became illuminated. And it was as if I was standing high above the earth, looking down at the hurricane, which was moving violently upon the nations. And I saw its fierce winds and its rising waters. But then suddenly, in an instant, the picture of devastation and death changed. And I saw the hand of God moving swiftly and mightily upon the earth. In other words, I would say, judgment turning to mercy. And then I heard him say, daughter, watch. As my hand of blessing and abundance now moves like a mighty hurricane upon my righteous in this hour and season, watch, for it will come suddenly, violently, and with great force. It will cause the plans and the purposes of the enemy to be overtaken and overturned. So judgment will overturn the enemy's plans, like Pharaoh at the Red Sea. And this could be the global currency reset and the R&R being fulfilled. But now, this will at last, not last, I believe, for the world. In other words, it's coming to prosper God's people, and the world will find it hard to partake in. My mighty hurricane of blessing, revival, and outpouring, and abundance will be unstoppable, uncontainable, and unprecedented, meaning greater than in all of history. It will cause many in my kingdom to be suddenly accelerated, activated, and advanced. In other words, bringing the gospel to the world, right? It will happen in the twinkling of an eye. Watch as my spirit winds begin to blow upon my people to remove every encumbrance and every entanglement. Well, the Spirit will remove all bondage to the old man, like at the Red Sea. The old man went down, the new man came up on the other side, right? A baptism. That's where we're headed, a baptism. My hurricane of blessing and abundance will create new pathways for the rivers of my glory, goodness, and grace to flow. So much more opportunity for the gifts to spread, right? God's gifts to spread. The waters of my glory will rise, and the winds of my blessing will blow mightily upon many, causing them to become perfectly aligned and awakened to my kingdom purposes in the nations, says God. Instead of being aligned with the worldly, false kingdoms of men and religion, there'll be a change of heart, which is in the hand of God. So after hearing the Lord speak, I felt led to look up the meaning of the name Matthew, which means gift of Yahweh. Listen, friends, it is so important that we see with the eyes of the Spirit in this hour. Get ready, be expectant for His mighty hurricane of blessing and abundance that is coming suddenly, violently, and with great force. It will be unstoppable, uncontainable, and unprecedented. I declare, Satan's plans will not prosper. It takes the eyes of faith to see that God is always good and is always working all things for our good. Well, I say amen. Quantum faith is being spoken about here. We need to believe what we see in the Word, not what we see in the world, right? So we call this one big shaking, intermission, and then crazing. Crazing? This was given to Bill Steenland, 2015. We don't know much for sure here, but we offer it in obedience to the Word in hopes that some other members of the gifted body has pieces of the puzzle, right? A lot of times we get pieces here and we get pieces there, but it comes together for us because God wants to show us. And he said, I dreamed David Eales, MG, and another guy and I were walking in a big parking garage to find my car. We passed Michael Hare on our left and found my Volvo convertible. He said, I think this car, which is broken right now, that was working in the dream, speaks of restoration. And yes, and I agree. And rest, because you just sit in a car. You don't have to strive, run, Flintstone it, so on and so forth, right? Only David and I got in the car. David got into the driver's seat, and I got into the passenger seat. And I told David that I really wanted to drive, and I didn't like him driving my vehicle instead of me, but then I just kind of got over it. Well, we do want to do it ourselves, don't we? and we do have to get over it. And, of course, God helps us. And this is, I think, allowing Jesus in the David man-child ministers, the sons of David, right, to take over and rest in their abilities and submit to their control because we've got new leadership coming. We went home to our house. David sat down in a chair, and I was standing next to him looking down at him, and David had a faraway look in his eyes as if he was thinking about a lot of stuff at once, wondering how everything was going to play out. He was bigger in the dream. He was about 200 pounds and looked very strong. I expect to have that pretty soon. So this speaks of spiritual strength, of course, of the Davids. And then David said to me, Bill, there is going to be a big shaking soon, or very soon, I can't remember which. Then there is going to be a calm, and everything is going to be normal again for a little while. then it's going to get crazy or nuts. Can't remember which. I believe this is speaking of a spiritual shaking to prepare the man, child, and bride, and to prepare people for the man, child, and bride. And there was an earthquake at the death and resurrection of Jesus as a type of the man, child. And this shaking happened there as a type, right? However, this shaking could be spiritual, as a separation of some from the factious to return, like there was a prophesied shaking in 2011 with a separation of them from us. And this would bring a return to normality for a little while before the physical earthquakes come as a time of craziness. Pam said that she saw a crazing pattern at the time of the earthquakes, a crazing pattern. Now, Wikipedia says crazing looks like a network of fine cracks on the surface of a material, for example, in a glaze layer. And Sandy Shaw, in her dreams of the New Madrid quake, saw cracks running everywhere. A crazing, right? We also believe that a soon coming New Madrid quake down the center of the country, which will cause disruption, a craziness, yes. And here is the word that I got from the Lord. He said, on Friday, my finger came down on verse 9, Isaiah 66 and 7. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall a land be born in one day? Shall a nation be brought forth at once? For as soon as Zion, that Zion, of course, is the bride, travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I that cause to bring forth shut the womb, saith thy God? So the man-child's coming will be great news to the bride, who has suffered at the hands of the wicked, and great news to the world too. Multitudes will hear and come to God. Verse 10, rejoice, ye with Jerusalem, and be glad for her, all ye that love her. And we're talking spiritual Jerusalem here, not physical Jerusalem. It's pretty corrupt. All ye that love her, rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn over her, that you may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations, that you may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river. Yep, the bride is going to have perfect peace in the days to come. She's already been through quite a trial, testing, and crucifixion, and peace is coming. Like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream, and you shall suck thereof, and shall be borne upon the side, and shall be dandled upon the knees. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Amen. How awesome. We know the truth, and the truth will set us free. What a great example of a pregnant woman is. The child is coming, and it's as sure as a pregnant woman. Wow. It reminds me of John 6, they said, where Peter's response is so encouraging. John 6 and 68. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? thou hast the words of eternal life. And we have believed and know that thou art the Holy One of God. Will it be so in these days? Of course, the things that have been are the things that shall be. Come, Lord Jesus. And we call this one, He will come as the latter rain. This was given to Eve Brask in 2014. And here's the first dream that she received in this regard. I dreamed I was in a storybook setting, and I was a girl playing and observing inside this setting. And I was happy and carefree, and I was running around and playing inside a large white castle. The castle was 2 stories high, with large support pillars and black and white checkered tile on the ground floor, and a large grand staircase that led from the central entry area up to the top floor. Well, I believe that Eve here represents the bride as the wife of the last Adam, Jesus Christ, because Adam had his Eve, right? Compared to the anointing that is coming to her, her ability and power to do the work of God and live in the castle of the king is as a child. And there had been, she said, a massive volume of water, a wave of some sort, that had come into the castle from the upper floor windows and had washed through the entire upper floor and then had headed down the grand staircase. So the upper room Christians in Acts received the former rain, as did many, and it did continue on down through history for a ways. But due to apostasy, there was a falling away. Apostate preachers have spoken against the baptism of the Holy Spirit as though it was evil, and they are guilty of the blood of the saints, who would have been greatly strengthened by this anointing. The wave had all frozen solid by the time it reached the black and white tiled floor at the base of the stairway. It had been frozen in time like this for many years. Aha, yes. Well, Father withdrew his anointing as apostates counted his gift unclean, and put this on the multitudes of Christianity. But we can't believe men. We have to believe what the Word says about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the great power that will come from the Holy Spirit. Job 37:9 says, out of the chamber of the south cometh the storm, and cold out of the north. By the breath of God ice is given, and the breath of the waters is straightened. So there's your ice, right? Before it got to the black and white checkered floor there. Job 38:28 said, hath the rain a father? Or who hath begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who hath gendered it? The waters hide themselves and become like stone. There's the ice. And the face of the deep is frozen. And she went on to say, I believe the former rain became mostly frozen in time, so to speak, for the last 2,000 years, that the church has fallen away from the true gospel that they heard from the beginning. Which, of course, that's the one we're commanded to observe, right? But Acts 2:38 says, and Peter said unto them, repent ye, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ unto the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is, unless you reject it and have been taught to reject it by these wicked leaders who haven't read their Bible and believed it above the traditions of men in their religions. So, as to the black and white lower floor, the overwhelming majority of lower levels, sometimes white and sometimes black, lukewarm Christianity, have never received the great wave of the former rain. Even for those who have received a portion of the former rain, it seems that anointing is small. As I've said so often, if we do what they did, we will get what they got. Read the book of Acts. And if we get what they got, we will do what they did. You can't do what they did without the power of the Holy Spirit in that anointing that comes as a baptism. Hosea 5 and 15, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Well, I would say that's almost 2,000 years there. And seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me earnestly. And then 6 and 1 keeps going on. It says, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and on the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live before him. So we are now at the third thousand-year day since the coming of Christ. And verse 3 goes on to say, and let us know, let us follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is as sure as the morning. That's the morning of the third day. That's where we are now. And he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. He's coming with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Notice, he's going to come as the latter rain. Notice, they're looking for him in the clouds. That's another false thing that they're waiting for. Well, notice that the king is coming as the latter rain, and his power and holiness will be manifested. Returning to the Lord is not black and white. It's white with the Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Woo-hoo. As a little girl in this dream, I was sliding down the frozen waves on the grand staircase and then climbing back up to the top floor to do it again. With childlike faith, we can rise above the curse, being carefree and enjoying his abundant life as we rest in Christ. Amen. It's a joyful trip. Mark, not always a non-crucifying trip, but it's a joyful trip. So Mark 10 and 15 goes on to say, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, there she was receiving it, he shall in no wise enter therein. So as a child, the bride sometimes fluctuates between the top floor and the black and white floor below. But that's temporary for them, for they will receive the Spirit, refreshing and rest of the Holy Spirit, which has been frozen in time for many. Isaiah 28:11, nay, but by men of strange lips and with another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest. Yes, it is, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Give ye rest to him that is weary, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. That's exactly what happened. And as we can see, many have not heard and some will not hear this great news that God will pour out His Holy Spirit upon you. Suddenly the water waves began to melt as I observed a regal prince dressed in royal robes come riding in through the storybook setting on his white horse. Ooh. Notice, he will come unto us as the rain, the latter rain. That's how he's coming. Believe the word of God. This is how he's coming at the beginning of the tribulation. This is how he's coming. Oh, yeah, he's coming in another way at the end, and we all look forward to that too. So this thawing wave will be released on the lower floor so that they may also live the kingdom life with power. Acts 1 and 8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you." You, who's he talking to? God's people. "And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Oh, praise the Lord. The regal King, Jesus, will return, manifested in the Prince, the first fruits man-child ministry, and history will repeat on a larger scale. All right? So he comes as the white horse rider of the first seal of Revelation to melt the long frozen water of the former and the latter rain of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the King of Kings, but this is the Prince, the Son of the King, in whom his life's blood flows. Yes, amen. He rode up over the melting ice wave and up the grand staircase towards the right side of the upper floor, where a lady dressed in royal gowns was standing with her hands clasped together, waiting for him. Well, notice the bride has grown up and is living on the top floor now. He then dismounted his horse and took her hand in his and kissed it and told her to come with him. It was time for their marriage. Revelation 6 and 2, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat thereon had a bow, and there was given unto him a crown, and he came forth conquering and to conquer." Isaiah 61 and 10, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, and my soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation, and with the robe of justice he hath covered me, as a bridegroom decketh with a crown, decked with a crown, and as a bride adorned with her jewels." Revelation 21 and 2, "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven of God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband." And then I woke up. All right, so we know that Zion, of course, is the bride. And when I fell back to sleep, I was given dream number 2 as a continuation of the first dream above, with the addition that the false accusers are silenced. I turned and walked towards my right out of the upper room of the castle. At this point, I was a woman, and I walked out onto a freshly laid parking lot, which seemed to be an extension of the upper floor of the castle. Well, I believe maturity and rest lives on the top floor. I saw a very large white hand sewn quilt, larger than king size, spread out on the parking lot. Well, a spread is for rest. And a parking lot is a place where mobile vessels, which we are at rest. They're parked. So Proverbs 31 and 22 says, she maketh for herself carpets of tapestry. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. One translation says quilts. Interesting. King Solomon was sitting on it, dressed in his finest royal robes. We've been talking about the coming of the Solomon man-child ministry. There were luxurious pillows all around him on the quilt for reclining. I went and sat down next to him at his right hand. Psalm 45 and 9. King's daughters are among thy honorable women. At thy right hand doth stand the queen in gold of Ophir. My son Elijah was a grown man and was a defense lawyer in King Solomon's court. He was dressed in a white dress shirt and suit pants with highly polished dress shoes and was standing in front of the king. Well, Elijah, the man-child born of the bride, Eve, right, was being here in Greek a parakletos, translated comforter or advocate, meaning a defense lawyer who pleads our case before the judge. Jesus and Moses, as man children, also did this. Moses quite successfully pleaded Israel's case a few times before the Lord, and the Lord had mercy. And Jesus was saying that he was a defense lawyer when he told the disciples that he would go, but the Father would send, quote, another comforter, unquote, which means he was the first comforter, right? Or parakletos, right? So Jesus was a defense lawyer. John 14 and 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, parakletos, that he may be with you forever. 1 John 2 and 1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you may not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate, parakletos, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So, Jesus, as a man-child, was a defense lawyer for the bride when he was with the disciples and afterwards when he was glorified. She went on, in front of me there was a female Australian shepherd dog pacing back and forth with hatred in her eyes. It had long white fur with big black spots all over it. So we are told to hate the garment spotted by the flesh or sin, right? Aussies have also been called pastor dogs. That's interesting. They are not as tall or mature as many shepherds. They are very competitive and territorial. Sounds similar, doesn't it? Why is the pastor dog shown as female? Because they would or should be receiving the seed and bearing the fruit instead of their lust to sow, which they are not equipped to do. So this dog could talk and it was constantly accusing me to the king of the things that were not true about me. This represents the hatred and the lies of the factious leaders. Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and these dogs work for him. They speak so hard against the Holy Spirit that we preach and hope that people will receive to have power through their tribulations. They speak against it. They speak against the Lord. They speak against the Holy Spirit, right? Which Jesus said there's no forgiveness. Elijah said to the king, "This dog makes false accusations against my mother, O king." The man-child intercedes for the bride before the judge, right? The king did nothing at first. I would say testing and crucifying the bride, right? Because we all go through it. It's part of it. Jesus partook of it from the leaders of his day, and we do too in this day. As we all suffered this lying dog to pace back and forth in front of me, speaking lie after lie against me. They do speak against the Spirit-filled people quite often. Isaiah 56:11, "Yea, the dogs are greedy. They can never have enough. These are shepherds." That's the same word for pastor. "They cannot understand. They have all turned to their own way." Of course, if you don't have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you're going to do it your way. "Each one to his gain from every quarter." Psalm 31:20 says, "In the covert of thy presence wilt thou hide them from the plottings of man. Thou wilt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." So, at this time, the faction that crucified the bride and the man-child and separated those who are not part of these bodies, the dogs, are no longer needed because of the maturity and the rest that they've entered into through this crucifixion, that the bride has entered into through this crucifixion. So after a little while, the king nodded at me, giving his authority to the bride over the accusers. Oh! And I got up from the quilt and went over to the dog and picked it up, subduing it under my left arm. I then grabbed its snout with my right hand and shut its mouth. So let us just say that the righteous have the authority to bind and to loose with the king's nod of approval. It could no longer accuse me after this. It was temporarily able to break its mouth loose from my grip once, trying to open its mouth to bite my thumb, but the power of God kept its mouth shut supernaturally, and it was powerless to do me any harm. Well, I remember Charlie had a revelation that the Lord was telling him that everything is about to change and that he was able to save us and scatter the enemy. Yep. Psalm 63:11, she says here. "But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. For the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped." And then I woke up. Well, I think the testing is about over, and the murmurers are dying in the wilderness, disqualified to live in the promised land. We call this one Last Days World Revival, Deborah Klein, 2014. In a dream, I woke up in the Middle East among sandy dunes. all I could see in all of the atmosphere from heaven to earth and 360 degrees around me was the Aurora Borealis. It was shockingly beautiful. Well, she said, I believe this represents the glory of God. Yes. Certainly the many colors are attributes of the light, which God is, right? He has many attributes. Those colors represented, like Joseph's coat of many colors, right? I turned to see a crowd of people from all over the world. They were somewhat scared and didn't know what was happening. And I turned to the right and saw a pitched tent, and in front of it was a simple wooden podium. With my Bible, I went to the podium and turned to Matthew 24. There's that word again. Judgments of the end times, which will help bring revivals, I believe is what's being talked about. She said, I began to tell the people that this is what the Lord said would happen. I began to preach the gospel to them. The words came out of my mouth as a roar that shook the earth. Well, I believe that Deborah here spiritually represents the bride, as she has in other dreams. And in the natural, women aren't allowed to teach men. So, but this is not natural. This is a spiritual parable, right? 1 Timothy 2 and 12 says that. So, as in the Gospels, these will be sent forth by the man-child ministry to preach among them were the disciples of Jesus and the 12 and the 70 and multitudes of other disciples by them as a type for our time. So in the crowd closest to me was a man who was dressed as an Arab prince. Upon hearing what was said, he threw back his head, exclaiming loudly with joy, Jesus is alive. The people began to rejoice. They were being saved. There was joy among them. Wow, I do believe a lot of Arabic people, a lot of Muslim people are going to turn to the Lord. And I woke up sweating. The Lord said to me, this is the last day's world revival. Well, since the observers were people from all nations, I suggest that a great move of revival will spread from the Middle East to the world. And I believe that the Jeremiah 25 wars will bring many Muslim people to misery, but to call out to God, who will answer them and reveal himself to them. Revival will spread from the people who have hated and killed Christians, kind of like it did with Paul, right? Yeah. Okay, we call this one the School of Revival, and it's anonymous, 2022. I had a dream that I went to the elementary school that I went to as a child, and all the people that I went to school with were still there. They were all gathered together. I went up to them all and just started sharing my testimonies of Christ. And I was speaking the word and truth in spirit. I felt such a strong, amplified love and energy for Christ in spirit. It was like 100 times amplified beyond anything I've felt when awake. Just a strong desire for Christ and a strong exercise of speaking truth and the word with nothing hindering me. I didn't have to struggle with carnal worries of offending anyone or being embarrassed. Nothing was hindering me or fighting me from proclaiming Jesus. Yeah, that's the anointing of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, right? And it was all out of holy love and not out of obligation. And I felt love for everyone, even those who had hurt me so much or hated me in the past. I had such strong, pure love for all of them, not in a carnal way, but spiritually. It was a real witness, as they knew how evil I was as a child more than most. But they now saw Jesus had transformed my life. They could see the light of Christ. And so many of them repented and turned to Christ in spirit and truth. A big revival throughout the school broke out, starting with repentance. And I walked around to different areas talking about Jesus to everyone. Many others repented and were awakened to the truth and began telling others. The fire of God spread so quickly throughout the school, and most came to repentance and love for Jesus. And a few that didn't repent were surrounded by those who did, and either they started desiring Christ or they had to run away from the school and not come back. To stay in the school, they would have to be in Christ. The Spirit was contagious, and it was so beautiful seeing true repentance in spirit and truth, and love for Christ came so quickly. I went into a classroom, and there were students sitting down, and a woman teacher was teaching, and I went over to the teacher and said that what they are doing is meaningless. In other words, that education is not going to last, right? And a waste of time, meaning time is run out. It's now time to know of the Word. This is what we must study. You that are into deeper education to have a higher earning level, you're wasting your time. The time has run out. Get to Jesus. Know Him. I then turned to the class and started singing, "Be Thou My Vision," praising God, and all the students started singing also. And after the song, I prayed in front of everyone and asked God in faith that every person who has ever been to this school in all of time would all have the gift of repentance and faith before leaving earth, and that they will all be in the kingdom for eternity. I then heard that I will remember this moment asking God for this because it has been answered. Amen. Well, you believe you have received, don't you, when you pray? And then I woke up. And this one we called A Sudden Move of God, Debbie Finsky, 2023. During our morning Zoom meeting, the Lord allowed me to see in the Spirit those whom He would call the lowliest of people and those addicted to every kind of sin. And I could see the Spirit of the Lord suddenly coming upon them, moving in their spirits. And I could discern their intense desire for God. These were dry, needy, and homeless people on the streets. These represent spiritually homeless people, right? I could see them dropping to their knees and raising their hands to heaven with a sudden but awesome desire for Jesus, to truly want to know Him. Then I heard Him say, "I am doing this, I am doing the work, but even my people who know my truths are walking in my ways, will see and wonder if such persons could be touched in such a way." But I say unto you, what a remnant am bringing forth, I am bringing forth. So I warn you, I warn my people to be prepared, be ready to receive my gift, to minister to those whom I will allow you to run into as you go about your business of the day. And I say, do not let their appearance stop you from being moved by my Spirit, to minister by my Spirit as I bring you face to face with them. Be alert and do the work of God. Even those affluent ones who have sat before Bible teachers, hearing my word preached and receiving it with joy and walking in my ways to the best of their knowledge, now will suddenly receive revelation from my Spirit that they are yet so empty and needy of the deeper truths of my word. They are going to suddenly desire more of me, and they will seek me with all their hearts, praying with earnest out of a sudden yearning desire, which I will suddenly impart to them. Well, in revivals in the past, sinners and self-righteous people suddenly, for no apparent outward reason, have been overcome with grief for their sins and cried out to God. And she went on and said, and many will find you and will truly find me through the ministry and the revelation truths you have received in me through my word and are so freely given out. Be ready, my people, for I will suddenly do a quick work. Have you not heard? The harvest is ready to be picked. Therefore, I say to you, stay prepared in me and go forth intentionally into my harvest field. Drop all things that would hinder you from being my vessels, for I have called you. Thank you, Father. Bless us all in Jesus' name to receive this word from you. Amen. Well, I agree. God is so good. He's going to do a wondrous work, and a great revival is going to come forth. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. And may all those out there who haven't yet received the Holy Spirit receive it now. In the name of Jesus, He will empower you to be what you need to be. Amen. All right. Good night, saints. God bless you.